tighten the hatches on your Jeep's soft top because kids are going flying. We saw Babes in Toyland, so you know what that means. Live at Largo. Holy shit, it has been far too long, and we cannot wait to talk about tonight's movie, which is the biggest piece of Cincinnati propaganda ever produced. Lenny Riefenstahl would look at this and say, wow, how can I get on this train? This movie, Babes in Toyland, Keanu Reeves, Drew Barrymore, Richard Mulligan, Ellen Burstyn, all came together for a TV movie in 1986 that real Ellen Brennan, but it should have been Ellen Burstyn, Eileen Brennan. And that was a trick because I want to see you saw the fucking movie. And you proved to me that you are worth being the first live audience we've had back. So thank you. If I did that at home on one of our Zoom recordings, I would have gone in, I would have sipped it out, I would look smart. Here, I will look dumb. I'll still cut that out. But you got to see me vulnerable. What is Babes in Toyland about? If you've not seen Babes in Toyland, it's simple. It's the Wizard of Oz, kind of, with like weird adult men wanting to marry teenage girls, creatures, and Pat Morita. It's hard to really parse, but we will try our best to break it down, and I can't think of two people to break it down better than my co-host, so please welcome Mr. Jason Mantzoukas!
But boy, do I wish we weren't here together in the same room. Because I don't know what you've been doing, but I suspect it's risky.
I will let you know, most of the audience are players for the Chicago Bulls, so that is tricky. A lot of them are in quarantine, that's why they're here tonight.
Huge stuff. Guys, holy shit, this is nuts.
Jason, I don't know if you noticed, but when I even did my pre-show ritual, I went over to your chair and then immediately realized and didn't touch a thing.
Thank you.
I'm so excited to have you back, Jason. But we could not do this show without my other co-host. Please welcome to the stage, Miss June Diane Raphael. How are you, June?
I'm doing well. How are you, Paul?
I'm doing fine. Thank you so much for asking.
I'd just like to say say, at that live show that Jason's talking about, he was so sick.
So sick.
So wow. sick that so I said, sick. I will not be sharing a hotel room with you.
And so June and I had to share a hotel room.
Didn't see another way. I didn't see another solution.
I slept great. So...
okay, let me just say, this is really overwhelming, and I may cry.
Yeah.
So...
It's very emotional.
Just so everybody is comfortable with that. Yeah, I just might cry a few
Even
times.
Though I hate every single one of you.
I don't like it here.
And I don't want to be here,
but I...
I am thrilled you're here, and I love every single one of you.
We are so, so happy to be back. And I will say that, June, I know how you watched this movie. Would you like to share with the audience where you watched it?
I have a bone to pick.
Okay.
So I never know what the movie is going to be until literally moments before my eyes fall on it. I did ask
she
this morning.
She will turn to me as the credits are rolling. She's like, what is this?
That's my process. And this morning I said to Paul, what are we watching? And with sort of like, oh God, what do I have to do? That kind of tone. And you said, oh, you're going to love it. It's a Christmas movie.
Amen. So, I stand by that comment.
No, this is not a Christmas movie. This is not a Christmas movie.
It is.
This is a Christmas nightmare?
This is.
This is like a haunting fable of... I mean, like, I'm almost positive in the opening scene, Drew Barrymore's character perishes.
Yes.
I mean, if there was ever a time for a Jacob's Ladder scenario, I mean, this is it.
I hesitated to say it, but it is absolutely,
is
this
true.
Movie is 100% a Jacob's Ladder scenario. I just want to correct one thing that, Paul, you said earlier, and that Keanu Reeves, my dear, dear friend from John Wick Chapter 3 Parabellum, TikTok, Mr. Wick. TikTok, Mr. Wick.
TikTok.
Misidentified. He says he has a Jeep. You said he has a Jeep. This motherfucker's driving a Suzuki Sidekick.
Wow.
Now, if you're wondering why Drew Barrymore plummets out the back of the Sidekick, it's because it's a Suzuki Sidekick.
You still
not a real
got
car.
To buckle up. But back in 86, they didn't care about seatbelts. Long as you had a sled in the car, you were fine.
Thank God for that sled.
Imagine for that
what would have
sled.
Happened if she just plummeted out the back, no sled.
I will say this.
R.I.P.
This movie is a TV movie, a made-for-TV film.
Okay.
Not known.
It starts off in... I think every shitty diner painting that I've ever seen.
For me, it started with me going to the website for toys in Babeland.
Well, that is going to give you some different stuff.
Which was a very different thing. Well, I bought a bunch of dildos.
No, okay.
Were
they made by the toy maker?
Yep. Pat Morita.
Put some eyes on that dildo.
All the dildos and vibrators have eyes, and if you crank them, they do stuff.
And he signs them like a Cabbage Patch Kid. That's nice.
Yes.
So I watched this movie. So I said to Paul, and I got really excited. I thought, it's a Christmas movie. I mean, I'm an actor in a Christmas movie. So that's
8-bit Christmas.
And in my genre.
HBO Max right now.
I'm a holiday actor. So I can connect.
By the way, congrats.
Thank you.
We've stated it before and we'll state it again. We want access. Give us the keys
to the
kingdom.
Get us in there.
Let us make a Christmas movie.
Yeah, as a holiday actor, I felt like, this is my genre. And it's a genre I love, 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 love. So I was looking forward to it.
And I are watching these on our free time for fun.
Absolutely.
You
put on a Christmas movie every night.
About one that I was like, do we need to switch the movie for what you're telling me?
I knew that we shouldn't because you all have prepared properly, but the movie that we watched was with Melissa Joan Hart as a podcaster, and she runs into Luke Perry.
No. That was
R.I.P.
almost
R.I.P.
as... R.I.P. And that
well,
was almost as
like,
bad as Ellen Burstyn.
Yesterday. That doesn't mean that
Jason
Luke Perry ceases to exist.
Jason Priestley. And
Jason Priestley.
As a Jason...
Ellen Burstyn. Jason Priestley.
When you said Ellen Burstyn, both June and I recoiled.
I love them both, but I mean, that's Eileen Brennan.
All I can think of is Ellen Burstyn in Private Benjamin.
Oh, my God.
What a different movie.
Oh, what a different movie. But, well, also as a Jason Priestley gal myself, I always preferred him to Luke Perry. That just hurts.
Got it.
You know, that
I'm
just
so
hurts
sorry.
For all of us.
You loved the priest?
Yes. Okay. Yes. But, so I said to Paul, okay, it's a Christmas movie. I'm excited to see it. And then I had to take our oldest son to a basketball practice. And we drop him off, him and his friend, and I go back to the car. Now, the only spot I had was at the entrance of the basketball. Like, every parent, every person has to walk through, and it's brightly lit where I'm parked. And I have to watch this movie on an iPad. And I'm sitting in the front seat watching this movie, and it's propped up against the wheel, and I'm furiously taking notes, and I thought, I'm going to be reported to the authorities. There's no way that I get out of this without someone putting me on some sort of a list.
Oh.
And rightfully so.
Absolutely. Can you imagine if it was me? Imagine me in my car with something that we all know contains a camera pointing out the windshield. While I furiously take notes in my
writing. Lap.
I will still say writing. That I watched...
Pausing, writing.
I still live in fear from the time that we were on tour in New York. I had to watch Master Disguise, the great Dana Carvey vehicle, and I was watching the Turtle Club in a children's museum while my children played with their grandfather. I was in the corner with a laptop watching a Dana Carvey movie like, yes, like, what is this?
What's
like,
particularly weird is you could get away with watching that movie with your kids and look normal.
Yes.
But to be in a children's environment without kids,
so wrong.
But watching a kid's movie is a lure.
Yes.
It's basically
come
saying,
on over.
What's over here?
Well, the other thing for me...
The Disguisey family.
Yes, is I was facing the auditorium. So all the other parents are propped up watching their kids play, except for me. And I look like I'm making the choice, like, oh, I don't want to watch my kid. Like, I want to be here with this.
Yeah. And if somebody were to walk and see what, you might be like, what's going on? And you're like, I got to watch the Succession finale
or whatever.
It's not
the finale of Succession.
But if someone were to walk around and be like, what the fuck are you watching?
It's only 10 more days till Christmas. Gotta get my Christmas on. Gotta get through these.
To be watching the car chase of them driving in circles.
I mean,
you'd be like, have you seen what she's watching? Get a load of this. You know, the other people there are like, get a load of this.
Truly insane.
Well, this movie surprised me in many levels because.
Not me.
I first of all.
From start to finish, I was like, I get it. Makes total sense.
I
Why
will
are
tell
we even
you,
doing it?
When I saw Pat Morita as the Toy Master, I was like, that's a movie I do want to see. And that could be a horror movie. I'm down for an evil Pat Morita. But no, he's a lovely, lovely man in this
what
film.
What made you think he was evil?
Just the Toy Master sounded very evil. Like
the name, the Toy
Master. Yeah, like, I make a jack-in-the-box.
Was
it's
he the
a
toy
drill.
Master or the Toy Maker?
He was the toy master.
He was master.
Yes.
Okay.
One thing I got right about this credits.
I just had a super quick question. Where was Drew Barrymore's family from?
Oh, I don't have that in my notes. Maybe Nate Kiley gave some notes.
That would have helped me understand the movie better.
Yeah.
If I understood via both dialogue and maybe even original song.
Where these motherfuckers were from.
I think I might have something here to help us. This is a clip from the movie. Let's see if this helps.
This is going to be the best Christmas in the history of the world.
It's not.
Right here in Cincinnati.
Welcome to glorious Cincinnati.
Nope.
The queen of Ohio's Alpine ski resorts.
Nope. Boo.
I come from
C-I-N-C-I-N-N-A-T-I, Cincinnati.
The best town in
Ohio, USA.
At first they called it Cincy, but since Cincy is so natty, they named it Cincinnati.
Suzuki Sidekick.
Hey, the girls are pretty, pretty in this gritty little city.
The fellers are the feistiest I've seen.
Lock it down.
When it comes to ball teams, the Reds and the Bengals, Maltese.
They knock the socks off all teams on the green.
I mean, two
sensible. The facts are commonsensible. Sin-sin-sin is invincible. Yeah, I know what I mean.
Sin-sin for that nearly natty.
What? Another verse?
Now here's the thing about that number.
What? Oh. More?
We
the city doesn't warrant that many verses.
I have a thing with Philadelphia. We now have a thing with Cincinnati. Jason, you have just put Cincinnati on blast.
Listen, I'm putting Cincinnati and all of Canada on blast. Not interested.
There is a moment, though, in that thing, in rewatching it, where, first of all, the driving in this movie is amazing because not only are they driving like the worst fake driving where it's like left, right, but they're also pushing the car back and forth like a Star Trek episode. So if a car was driving like this, it would be in an accident.
Well, also during a blizzard,
yes.
And he keeps going up through the, he's driving a manual drive up through the gears. He should be in second gear going so slow right now. But as the song picks up tempo, he's like, gotta drive faster, gotta drive faster. Driving so fast that the little girl dies. Driving so fast, I can't stop
Cincinnati
driving fast.
Has the most dead kids. That's the fact. Look it up.
It's because of the songs that we sing while we drive. This is what's killing all our children.
It does seem, because they have all those looks to each other.
Yes.
In that scene, like, we're going to do this. We're going to finish the song.
The
we
song?
We need the blood from an 11-year-old kid. Wait, so there's something here that I thought was so interesting is in that moment where they're singing, Keanu looks like he's lost control of the car. And he's like, oh.
Yeah.
And now, only moments later, a girl shoots out the back of that Jeep.
Because he does lose control.
But in that moment, I guess he had one more verse before she could shoot out? I mean,
this again, and I'll be honest with you, and I, because much like June, I had zero reference. I had no idea. I just was given a title and a link. Boom.
You knew Ellen Burstyn was in it.
I was like, Burst, baby, burst, give it to me.
I heard it's a prequel for Requiem.
I was like, wait, are you telling me the star of Empty Nest and Golden Girls is in this? I'm hardcore in. Anyway, regardless, I put it on, and I'm watching the movie, and then this happens, and I'm like, I write in my notes, hang on, is this a fucking musical? And then I watch the rest of the movie, and I'm not sure.
Yeah.
This movie has too few songs to be a musical, but too many songs to be a movie.
There is, okay.
There's like three and a half songs.
The original cut of the movie was 145 minutes.
How long is this?
94.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
Wow.
So
the rest was songs. Clearly the rest was songs that they were like, we gotta get rid of this.
So, well, by the way, the biggest mistake of this movie was they hired people that were terrible singers. Like, there's not, they're like, even...
Well,
like,
the sister was a good singer. I mean, what's concerning about that, I don't think the sister is dubbed, but everybody else is. But what's concerning about that, his singing is...
Okay,
is,
but by a bad singer.
Well, I don't think...
When you said TV movie, I think that answers your question.
Yeah, okay. But it's concerning because it makes me think like, oh, they left... These are the best songs that they left in?
Can you imagine?
Like, this is what we had to keep?
Can you imagine what was cut from this movie?
Two songs, one song called It's the Feeling, and another song called We'll Think of Something.
Which might as well be, that is like the truth. That is speaking truth inside of the movie.
By the way,
like,
also.
What's good? What's the movie? I don't know. We'll think of something.
I mean, by the way, this this movie was shot all in Germany, but also.
All the songs written by Stephen Sondheim, R.I.P.
But it is based on a 1903 operetta. Babes in Toyland is an opera.
And there is another movie called Babes in Toyland.
No other movie. No, I'm just joking. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, in that version, are all of those songs in there?
Well, this seems to be like a take on it. Like, it's like...
So isn't like a remake of that movie? Or is it?
It is a remake.
It is. Okay, I didn't know that.
I think Toy Soul...
I didn't know
if they
shared a title.
Here's something I don't know anything about, but I'm going to be very actively saying that I do. I think Toy Soldiers are definitely in the other Babes in Toyland. but I don't think like Mother Hubbard's like shoe is in that. Like,
so
I feel like
they, so you think Goose. Everything's the same but the shoe?
Well,
everything's the same but the shoe
I
is not
in. I think what they did was they moved in like some. Like they, I think they did, am I right in this that they moved in like the fairy tales, like the Humpty Dumpty and stuff like that, or is that in the old one too?
It's in the old one.
Okay. Soldiers that has all of that same crap.
Okay, all right, so escort that man out.
Apparently there's
somebody
a movie with Laurel and Hardy.
Escort that man out, please.
Well, what's so disappointing about this, I mean, this isn't Wizard of Oz, because what's so disappointing is that the characters that we meet in the beginning and their character traits have nothing to do with the fairy tale characters, with honestly, with the exception of the woman in the shoe and her lists.
Well,
they have nothing
to do.
The
only relation that I didn't truly did not understand until the very end of the movie is that Drew Barrymore's character is meant to have kind of renounced childhood. And so,
right,
toy
she's cooking,
toy
in the beginning.
Land. She's making dinner. Don't worry, I'm making dinner. She's taking care of things. She has kind of renounced childhood and is living as a like an adult life.
It would
real
be
commentary
so
on Drew, the actual
the
Drew Barrymore's life.
It is.
Well, I mean, that was that was interesting. Like, but I felt like they didn't really state it that much because she was acting like a kid. But
but
you
that's
know,
why I feel like Toyland was this this you know this also gave me real for comic book nerds here Fables Bill Lyham's Fables. This was like very in that world that I was like, ooh, a world that you go to where the fables are actually exist, where all the kind of storybook characters live together in a town.
But she seemingly didn't know any of those stories. It wasn't like, oh my God, Humpty Dumpty.
Yes.
Like, they just introduced her to
people.
Okay, she's
this
like, oh,
motherfucker
nice to meet you.
Humpty Dumpty. You don't put a giant egg in a movie, okay? Unless he's gonna fall off that wall and crack. They show him twice.
Yeah. I thought for sure in the fight sequence at the end we were gonna watch him fall.
And all the king's soldiers and all the king's men would try and put him back together,
but didn't.
No. I want that egg dead.
In the 145-minute long version, that's a 30-minute sequence.
Maybe that's what they cut.
Here's what's so weird, though, about the basic premise of the movie. So, yeah, it is about this girl who is sort of a little mother in the house and doesn't have any interest in toys and doesn't want this sled that her older sister's getting her for Christmas because she doesn't really know how to play with it.
She doesn't want
kid stuff. I thought that the sled was shitty.
No,
I think she doesn't want kids stuff.
Oh,
I wouldn't
want a sled either.
It's just like, you're not going to like it because she says something like, you're not going to like it because it's fun or something
but
like that.
Oh, I thought she was like, I got you a sled. It was like the equivalent of like socks.
I don't think so.
Who wants a sled?
What?
Like,
I want a sled.
One. Yeah,
you want a sled?
I'd like a sled right now.
You want, like, as a kid, you're like, here's a sled.
Yes,
Paul, you need to go to Toyland.
What are you talking about? Yeah, of course. What did you want, a typewriter? What are you talking about?
A sled is a gift that you get, like, the normal part of the year. I don't give that to me as a gift.
You're getting gifts during the normal part of the year?
Hey, I bought you a sled. We'll go sledding. A sled is like, you don't go like, here's your Christmas gift is a sled.
I'll be honest.
What?
I am blown away right now.
There's actually like nothing that's more fun and childlike and free
and
than
more of the season.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're especially where we all grew up,
you
want to
get
snow,
one in summertime?
There's snow
no.
on the ground. Oh, here's your 4th of July sled.
It's like
enjoy America's independence.
It's like getting a pool floaty for Christmas. Like,
no, it's not.
Come on,
it's not at all like that.
There's a blizzard in this town.
They
could literally go outside.
What are you talking about? The sled is immediate use. You can use it immediately.
She didn't know it.
She didn't know what a sled was?
No, she didn't know there was going to be a big storm. It was a freak disaster.
They live in Cincy, baby. Of course there is.
And then there should be a lyric. Because Cincy is so snowy, you need a big old fucking sled. You know, like, they should have that line.
I think, honestly, this pandemic has affected us all in different ways. And
Of all the things you could disagree with, a sled being a good Christmas present is the worst take
it's
of all.
It's 86. Get me one of those Nintendo robots that drop the discs and do the fucking thing. Get me that Roby robot.
Get you a Roby? Wow, look at you. Because you're like, I can get a sled anytime I want.
Oh, big deal. You got me a sled. Thank you.
Whoa.
I feel like you're talking about a sled as though it's like hardware or something.
Yes.
It's like
a vacuum.
It's not a tool.
I got you a dustbuster.
Here's the deal, people. Here's the deal, okay?
About the premise of the movie. So I think we are in the world of the movie, we're supposed to think that sled is a great, joyful gift for a child.
A child that is predisposed to think, in Paul's thinking, it's not that good of a gift.
Yes.
Right? That's what the sister...
I share some similarities with Drew Barrymore's character.
I know, and this is going to get real dark,
also,
so get ready.
Two harrowing childhoods.
Yes. The details will haunt you.
I will come and sit right there for you and Drew Barrymore on this stage trading childhood stories. That's the show.
But my point is,
got picked up by Quibi.
The R.I.P.
Just found out Quibi doesn't exist anymore.
R.I.P. By the way, I only realized halfway through the pandemic that it stood for Quick Bites. Yeah. That was, and when that realization hit.
Well, true. I mean, I got to just, if we talk about it, I got to just say the original name was Omakasa, which to me is such, like.
And can you imagine?
Can you?
Are you watching that new show on Omakasa? What?
Oh, yeah. The sushi sampler platter that the chef makes?
Chef's choice?
Of sushi?
Okay. To go back to the movie.
Yes.
So we are meant to believe that she doesn't really experience joy with toys, and she's not really, she's really big on telling people she's 11. She's not a kid anymore. And
she answers the phone. She's making dinner.
But then at the end of the movie,
she's lit like a noir film. There's one moment where you see her where it just like
this isn't Unspooled.
Yeah. Okay, not Amy Nicholson.
We don't need to hear about noir. Oh, the lighting was just like a noir film.
It reminded me of Double Indemnity. Now in color,
Barry Wilder's intentions.
Ryan Johnson.
I think when Howard Hawks.
By the end of the movie, you know, the lesson is that she has to believe in toys again.
Yes.
And believe in the magic
stated.
Of childhood. Okay, but my issue with that is like, well, the fact that she doesn't, and the fact that she's older for her age, inappropriately so, and called on to be this adult
in the house.
Is that
bad? 11? Is that too old?
Paul, you're going to reveal too much about yourself.
I mean, that's pretty old.
That's an indictment on the parents in the home.
Absolutely.
That is not her fault.
And
so to require
that
she believe...
Don't applaud for that.
No, that's
yes,
our case.
Applaud.
No.
Applaud. Applaud.
No, I think I...
Where's
you're
the dad?
Absolutely right. The dad is absentee. I assumed they were divorced or that he was dead. But the dad is not present. The mom is not engaged. The sister has to go to work, and Drew is doing the lion's share of work.
When the sister walks out of the house into a fucking blizzard with just
in
a neon
a fucking
pink.
Killer outfit.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
We need to carve out the next
Do
2 hours.
Do we have a picture of her outfit? It's like a beret. I mean, it's a pink jacket. It's nuts
it's
level
a
stuff.
Square.
Yes.
It's the widest jacket
I've
ever seen in my life.
It's a jacket that looks like a vagina with her head as the clitoris.
And it's also, and then the plastic.
That might
pink.
Have been on the Toys and Babeland site. Sorry.
Yeah, that's a
I
different.
Might have been looking at
you
a different
got confused.
Thing.
But the sister works seemingly at a five and dime, right?
They call it a five and dime, but it also says toys outside. So it seemed like a five and dime toy store.
I mean, my favorite moment is Richard Mulligan, who I think is a great actor.
So funny.
He comes in, he's like, I told you to push the bears. Yeah. And she's like, I work in customer service.
Like he's in a mammoth. Like he's doing mammoth.
He was doing, yeah.
He's like, push the fucking bears. The motherfucking bears is what you need to push.
I gave
push
you the bear leads. Sell these fucking bears.
Sell these bears.
I couldn't tell if it was Christmas Eve.
Was Christmas Eve. I mean, I was so shocked. My entire personality is pretty much based on Golden Girls and Empty Nest. Just those two shows I've been created from. I watch them every night back to back.
Wow.
Oh, obsessed.
Wait, what about Love Boat, which came on next?
I don't think I could stay up for that. So I only made it through
Golden.
I'm
older than you, so
yes.
I could, because I watched those as well, straight into Love Boat.
Yeah, I could not go
there.
To Love Boat, yeah.
I stopped there, but I loved him so much. I love that character so much. To see him this way was pretty shocking for me.
Well, I mean, he is lecherous.
I thought he was great. Don't get me wrong.
He is doing, and for somebody who's not a great singer, I appreciated his song.
What was his song?
Let's time. Yeah. Well, here we go.
His song.
Refresher. A monster piece. Here we go. Let's take a.
Yes. Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah.
Here we go. Here we go.
Oh, this is very Dark Crystal.
I want to share with you, dear boy, the evil scheme that fills my heart with joy. Its evil theme will never cease. Cause I have created a monster beast. I've put in years of toil and strife.
It feels like the music isn't even sure it's a song. Like
I agree.
Like the people that are playing are like, I guess he's singing. Okay, we're gonna.
There's never it never opens up. The
songs
never
open. Do not further the plot at all, which all musical songs should. They should give you more access, more. I mean, we basically get a song that is just about Cincinnati.
Yeah.
And then Monster Piece. And then that. And then the other, there's another one that I don't even remember.
And they're all kind of talked. Like they never start.
Well, when they go to dub, to go back to Pat Morita, when they go to dub his singing voice, I'm like, well, now it will be a good one. And it felt like someone doing an impression of a bad Pat Morita singing voice. It's like, oh yeah, I bet she's not a good singer. I'll do that. Yeah.
Nobody, I mean, I felt like everybody, I'm not even sure that was his singing voice, to be quite honest.
That
I don't,
feels if, like,
I,
right.
I don't know. I assumed everybody was dubbed in this just because so many people seem to be being dubbed. Keanu is dubbed for sure when he sings.
Yes.
Drew Barrymore is definitely dubbed. I mean, they go to this world. Well, I mean, I want to talk about this world because we've been talking about
Toyland.
Toyland, which is the most monstrous place that you could ever possibly go.
This is like a Wizard of, like you said, it's the Wizard of Oz, except that instead of going to a fantastical world of Oz, she goes into a nightmarescape of toys, of storybook characters come to life, which are just this.
And by the way, this is like a bear out of Wicker Man. This bear is scary. Yeah.
Everybody's wearing like Sesame Street level costumes. You can frequently see the seams between their necks. You can frequently see human necks.
There's a lot of law enforcement in this town that don't seem to be doing much.
This is chilling. That frog is chilling.
We just saw before, too, like some of the characters are giving the physicality of like bears, and then others are just walking around.
Yeah.
I mean,
people with the costumes
they clearly built the frog head with the pipe in it. Because
I think it's Sherlock Frog.
The classic fairy tale character.
Right.
It's got a Sherlock Holmes cap.
Sherlock Frog.
That's Raggedy Ann.
That's Raggedy Ann. But who is the lion with a football jersey? When they would cut to a group shot, that motherfucker. There he is. Oh, this fucking guy's trying to. I saw this and I was like, this guy's trying to get me.
But here's the thing. While there are fully costumed characters, they're not going the cat's route where it's a human like dressed as like an animal. Then there are just regular people that look like pilgrims or like
they're all storybook characters.
Yeah.
They
well,
are
we
all,
hope. I mean,
you know,
it's loose.
They're all, I think they are all, you know, meant to be from stories. You know, they're introduced as such.
I mean, you know, this classic storybook character.
That's the owl from the Tootsie Pop commercial, right? Old people like that joke.
I mean, it's such a bizarre world. Yeah. And there's the lion in the football jersey. The toy soldiers do come out to play, which makes it interesting
because there's a lady. Oh, look at him.
There he is.
Oh, look at him. Oh, shit. Like, no matter.
I mean,
get him out of there!
No, no.
Get him out of there!
I see you, Jason.
No!
That is haunting. That is the scale. That is haunting.
Oh, this man, that's me the mailman. Is the closest thing that we could get to seeing Wes Anderson's nightmares.
Yes.
Like, this feels like when Wes Anderson dreams, he sees this town and it scares him.
Yeah.
They're cute.
It's so crazy, too, because nobody ever asks her, like, how'd you get here?
Yeah.
By the way, I mean, she gets there. She doesn't seem to have many questions. And like, even
neither
when
do they, really.
Even at a point when she gets her driver's license, it's just a cookie.
Right
it says
here.
Driver's license.
Right yeah. here, I just want to show you. Stop it right here. That wooden soldier is crying.
Yes.
Now, does that mean the sweat has come out of the actor through the costume?
Is it sap? Or do the wooden soldiers have tear ducts? Like, what is this?
Well, here's my other question. We see these wooden soldiers displayed in the town square. Later on in the film, the toy master says, oh, what's in that closet? And he opens it up. They're all covered in dust and cobwebs. And he goes, they're my greatest joy. So did the cobweb? Are they in a place where cobwebs form very quickly? Did these escape?
Something
are there different?
Something happened, and I was trying to follow it. Something happened where the wooden soldiers couldn't be released until there was
until someone believed
someone
in
believed
toys.
In the toys.
But
so,
these wooden soldiers are okay.
Well, this is the end of the movie, I believe.
This is, I thought this is the beginning of the movie, is it?
No.
Oh, okay.
I think when the tear comes out is it
that's
toward the end
the
of
guy.
The movie.
Who is that? Who is that lion? Who's that football player? What story is that
what
from?
Is that?
I'm Tig Butkus. I was a character created for Dick Butkus, a cartoon show when the Chicago Bears.
I genuinely
bear,
was like, what the fuck is this guy doing here?
And he's crying. And some animals in this movie do like, wonk, wonk, like a clench fist to eyeballs.
I feel like they had a bunch of costumes, and then they were like, can we just find other costumes?
Yeah.
And so like, there's a bunch of mascots just like blended in.
Now, I will say, I watched half of the movie in a parking lot.
You were asked to leave.
A beautiful yeah. sports
and
facility.
And then I watched the other half with our youngest son.
Oh, wow.
And that was a different experience. He loved all of this. He loved it. And when he saw the cookies coming out of that guy's hat, he said, I wish I could have a cookie in my hat. And then
of
immediately
course.
After, I wish I had a hat. So, and loved Drew Barrymore, loved her. And then our older son came in too and also loved every second of it. So this movie has an audience.
Yes.
I'm here to report.
Your kids are also huge Pete Rose fans.
That's true.
Let
him in the Hall of Fame, they
say. This movie glorifies Pete Rose. And I'll tell you what this movie doesn't like. This movie does not like people who are overweight. Because there are so many...
Oh, so many fatty jokes.
So many fatty jokes. And here's the thing. This guy, Googie, whatever his name is, Googie saves Keanu Reeves from a... There's a jailbreak in this movie. A straight-up jailbreak. And in this moment, Googie saves him. And he's like, I wrote it down. Like, he says, like...
Wait, do you mean Georgie Porgy?
Well, his name is Googie in the real world, right?
Is it?
Is it?
Yeah.
There's Googie? A character in this movie named Googie?
Googie, yeah.
So if his storybook character is going to be Georgie Porgy, why not have his name in the real world
sorry.
Be George?
His real name is Googie.
Wait.
The actor's name is Googie. You know what? That's it. Show's
I gotta
over.
Go. Thanks so much, Show's you guys. Over. It was a great night. Thanks for
not
wearing
Googie.
Your mask.
It's not worth it. It's the last episode
Gress.
Of the podcast.
Googie Gress is his out. Name.
What?
We're done. Wrap it.
What?
Googie Gress. Googie Gress.
Googie Gress.
Googie Gress plays Georgie
Porgy. Hold on. I gotta go back. Goo as in G-O-O-G-I?
G-O-O-G-Y.
Googie.
Googie.
Like the movie Gooby.
But with Googie. Okay. And then the last name is Gress?
Googie Gress.
G-R-E-S-S. Googie Gress.
Googie Gress.
I'm done. I have nothing to say for the ever. That's it. Googie Gress.
Wow.
You know Googie Gress, right?
How? Wow. And that's an actor. It's like, if anyone can sort of change their name and get away with it,
is it possible? Get me Googie.
Is it possible that it's Googie?
I thought Googie Gress was actually the actor who played the friend in Teen Wolf, not the MTV show, the Michael J. Fox movie, but it's not. No, that's a different guy. Well, maybe it's not. He was Francis.
So you thought his real life name was Googie.
His real life name is Googie.
No,
Georgie
I'm sorry.
Porgy.
Georgie Porgy. So Georgie Porgy.
In the world, in the real world in the movie.
Is what Georgie.
It is Georgie, okay.
And then Georgie Porgy. And so when Georgie rescues Keanu in the fake world, he goes, wow, you're the size of three heroes now. It's like, motherfucker just rescued you. You call him fat? Like, just be like, thank you, you're a hero. Like, you don't have to like make a...
Isn't that kind of Georgie Porgy's thing? What's the Georgie Porgy story?
Put his finger in some pie.
What,
right?
Wait, but what else happens
what happened,
after
what
that?
What happened after yeah. that?
Georgie weighs 17 and a half stone with a waist of 50 inches. And he's a constant source of...
Are you on British Wikipedia?
It is. It's historicuk.com.
Why are you measuring in stone? We're in America, baby! Where we can't stop dying!
Yeah.
Too dark?
Yeah.
Too dark? Really?
Oh, wait. Despite his larger size, George also established for himself a rather poor reputation for his lusty romps with the fairer sex that involved several mistresses, leaving a string of illegitimate children when he was 23.
What are you talking about? How is this
I
a story?
Georgie is based on a real person.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
I get it now. Okay.
Yeah, okay. So I guess he was based on Edward the
First. George?
Edward the First. Okay, anyway. Or King George the Fourth. I can't get into this British Wikipedia. It's too complicated.
I'm
everything's left to right.
I'm not going to lie. I still haven't recovered from Googie.
I will never.
I still am thinking about it.
I can take off my blazer.
I'm not present.
God. Now, I will say,
yes.
I do want to talk about Eileen Brennan's performance. And I was hurt that you thought it was Ellen Burstyn because I was obsessed with her performance.
So good.
She's so good.
I was obsessed with it. And
Until she said she would, in hard times, sell some of the children?
That made me laugh so
I mean,
hard.
Yeah. I got it right
she was
here.
Hilarious.
I mean, yeah. She really like lays it down. Like
She's so good.
Wait, to be clear, if you haven't seen Private Benjamin, do yourselves a goddamn favor and watch Private Benjamin. Goldie Hawn, Eileen Brennan, next level. Go ahead, Paul.
When she says, there's a great line in here too where she says like, my mom had too many kids. So they grew out of the boots. Sorry, let me find out.
Out of the shoe and into a pair of boots.
Yeah, I thought that was very funny.
You just have a list of jokes you liked?
At a certain point, I was enjoying the movie. I was just children. I was enjoying every moment of it. I was like, that's fun. I would like to go to that jail. I mean, by the way, this other thing about Toyland is it is also a Hollow Earth movie because everything in this movie, there's so much underground passages.
So much tunnels.
So many tunnels.
I had a question, though. Were the tunnels, was that, okay, so the bad guy, Barnaby Barnacle, lives in a bowling ball.
Is that a
story? No,
I don't think
right?
Barnaby. I don't think Barnaby Barnacle
okay,
I
want to
is
make
a thing.
Sense. I want to make sure. Okay, because
I loved that though. That was.
I thought it was great.
And
I liked the look of somehow an ominous giant.
Yeah, wish it had rolled down at some point.
Well, by the way, they threaten it. They say sometimes it does roll down and crash houses, and then I guess it goes back.
That was Chekhov's bowling ball house. You don't put a bowling ball at the top of the hill unless it's going to roll down.
You want to see that bowling ball take out those cars at the end instead of that one character suiciding himself.
What I couldn't understand was they seem to establish two different places of evil, which is the underground caverns that they seem to exist in and the dark forest beyond.
Right, but we never really get to the...
I felt like the Dark Forest Beyond was actually
same?
Well, I thought I don't think there is a Dark Forest.
Now this
beyond.
Is interesting.
I don't think there
elaborate.
Is.
Elaborate.
Like the village?
I think that he was using that as a way of sort of keeping everyone there, but I don't think there was actually there were just gates.
June, let me ask you this. Where is Pat Morita getting all that evil from?
I don't know. I mean, that's the thing.
Pat Morita is a collector of evil.
But well, I have a theory.
Yes.
I have a theory. At the end of the movie, it seems to posit that Pat Morita, the toy master, is in fact Santa Claus. Yes.
Who is wearing a Mrs. Claus outfit. No judgment.
Yes.
Just need
okay,
to underline
one of our
that that
kids
was the
goes,
choice.
Where's his hat? I was like, well, I don't know. It's not there.
So you think that's a Mrs. Claus?
That's definitely a Mrs. Claus.
It is?
Yeah.
I thought it very forward thinking. Very cool. Yep. Gender neutral Santa. I'm into it.
I fully believed that was Santa. Because I'll be honest. If I'm Santa, why would I ever wear a hat? It's going to blow off. Hood all the way, baby.
I got to tell you, this Santa's a little too hands-on for me because his little minions, everyone's got minions in this town. His minions are like, Toymaker, how do we fix this doll? He's like, oh, you got to put eyes on it. If they don't know the basics, like if Santa's got to put eyes on all the dolls, like shit's gone south. He has not taught them the right thing.
Yeah.
But he is Santa masquerading as a Toymaker?
I think he's both.
I don't know.
I think he is one in the same.
To the world, he's like, I'm Toymaker. But then he's like, but I'm also Santa. Like, I feel like it would almost be like if Superman was also the Flash. It's like my secret identity is Superman, but I'm the Flash. It's like, wait.
Well, no, because they say earlier that he's making all the toys for Santa.
For Santa.
Right. So that would imply that the Flash works for Superman.
Well, I'm not going to get into the specifics of the DC universe, but I'm going
to
say this.
I would love to.
Listen.
I'd love to drill down on this.
I don't want to believe that Santa has a collection of evil things in a
Well, yes, earth. Sorry, yes.
Oh,
that's
but
what,
that's
yeah.
what I was going to say is in his experiences as Santa, he comes in contact with evil, takes it, and puts it in the urn.
Hold on.
In the world.
In there,
in the world. Because he goes into the real world. He goes into our world. He says, I've heard of Cincinnati. You know how? I go there and I deliver presents. And so in our world, he encounters evil. And so he bottles it up.
Wait, but how does he encounter evil? Like, because it's like, does he go out and crime fight? Or is he just like, does he just have an urn open? Like, capture, like, let me drive around here.
Give me that movie. Give me that movie.
Let me hang out at the, like, because there is some, that's why I'm saying, that's a different movie. Pat Morita is the toy master. He has a collection of evil ready to unleash
upon.
But
it is a good question. Have other people, because nobody seems phased when Drew Barrymore, a human child, arrives in Toyland. Nobody seems like, what are you or who are you or where are you from or whatever, even though she is from Cincinnati. There isn't an idea of good or bad until we reveal that. And how is Barnaby Barnacle evil? Also, shouldn't this movie end with him being redeemed?
It's like the Grinch, but he doesn't win.
Yes, he's like the Grinch or the villain of the story. But for it to be a Christmas movie, he should be filled with he should be redeemed, not banished to the bad forest with all of his demons.
Or he's banished in that world, but in real life, he's learned his lesson at the Five and Dime, and is
we don't get that either.
We don't get
that. Wait, but hold on. Now I need to ask you a question that I may have missed. She didn't really shoot out the back of that Jeep.
Did yes, she did.
Oh, she did. Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
Whoa. Okay.
All right,
did you think happened?
Okay, I thought that she was cooking by stirring that pot, and then she fell asleep and imagined everything on her couch.
So you imagine, you don't think she left the house?
Yeah.
Oh, so you
I
think
thought it was
when
like
that
Wizard
she
of Oz.
Went to sleep. You thought when
the
static
Well, the Wizard of
happened.
Oz, she's in a tornado.
Yes, but it wasn't like, yes. But
wait, wow, yes, wow. But
well, hold on.
Do you agree, Paul, that in The Wizard of Oz,
I do.
Dorothy is in a tornado?
Yes, but here's my thought: is that she was in like a winter storm and the power went out in her house, and she like the antenna fell, or like we don't know what the reason is, but she conked herself out. She had this vision of her going to her sister's store.
We saw her conk herself out by jumping out of the back of a Suzuki Sidekick on a sled and hitting a tree.
But then where, like at the end of the movie, okay, this is the end. Okay, this is my thought. Sorry. I mean, I know I'm wrong. I don't know why I'm fighting it, but I will.
This is shocking.
Huh?
Because I just thought that, like...
the movie is very much about child endangerment.
Well, okay, but, like, so she... like she. Okay, there's Santa. Oh, wait.
Drew Barrymore, this is the age where Drew Barrymore would only star in movies in which something flies in front of the moon.
They were like, we got to get that E.T. shot. We got to get that E.T. shot in here. Well, I guess in my thought was, like, when she wakes up on the couch, she's not bruised, she's not bandaged, she's not in a hospital. This child flew out of the back of a Jeep.
She is concussed.
Well,
at a bare minimum.
She shouldn't be allowed to sleep.
You should be like, oh, my God, I flew out of the back of the Jeep. I only got a concussion. Like, that would
but
be like,
yeah. You know what my thought was? Because I was concerned about that, too. They are worried about her. The mom says that we're really worried about you.
But is Googie there?
But Googie is there.
But the little brother's in bed. They took the time to put the brother
in bed.
They should be in the hospital.
It's a blizzard. They're not supposed to be driving. Like,
they went and found her body.
Also,
and they brought it back to the house.
Also, I think they were close to
home. Okay, here's what I want to say. So when Drew Barrymore... again, 11 years old, left home alone on Christmas Eve. Okay, maybe that's the world we're living in, okay?
Where mom's getting chains on the
tires. The telephone line goes down and the...
the antenna falls off the
roof. And the antenna for the TV. The electricity doesn't go out. The TV and the phone. She puts on her winter coat and walks to the toy store where her sister lives. So they are in walking distance.
Wait, not lives.
I mean, he's working. You know what I mean.
But she's also...
walks there. An 11-year-old can walk there. So then if Keanu Reeves is like, I'll drive you guys home, it must be like right there. It must... why do they drive so long? Why do
so
they
many
have,
verses.
So many verses of the song. They should be able to... C-I-N-N-I... We're here.
Here's the thing. Suzuki Samurai can only make right turns. So it does take a longer time.
I thought they were setting up that she walked a really long time to get to that Five and Dime store, because that's how much of a little adult she is.
That would make sense. In my mind, I was like, oh, it's small town America. She lives 10 minutes from the store or something, you know, the equivalent of.
Yeah.
She never left that house.
That's an absurd statement.
So you think?
Wait! You think she got an absurd? She had a sure. So a concussion fantasy is different than like I fell
it's
asleep
the
on
the Wizard
couch.
It's the Wizard of Oz.
But the same thing.
In the Wizard of Oz, she doesn't just like concuss herself at home. The house flies away. She
so
falls
you
down.
Think the concussion is creating the fantasy, not just
yes.
the sleep? Nah.
I mean, or she's dead. We got it. Jacob's Ladder scenario.
All right. All right. Let me ask you guys this. What did you think about the big fix when they're all getting poisoned by gas? And they say...
I cannot believe we haven't even talked about that
They're getting
sequence.
Poisoned by gas, and
This is nuts.
They say, don't breathe it in.
And if you breathe it in, the gas is the personification of evil. So to breathe it in will turn them into ghouls or the minions of the Barnaby Barnacle, right?
Those Feratus that he
travels
with.
We get to see those monsters later on. But
correct.
The crazy thing is they're all yelling at each other to not breathe it in.
Correct.
And
in doing so are just breathing it in.
And then
much like all of us in here tonight.
And then Drew Barrymore's solution is, hey, if we can't breathe it in, let's all sing. Because I'm from Cincinnati, and Cincinnati has, like, she says, I'm immune to the evil gases. She goes, because I'm from Cincinnati. Not like, because I'm not from your world. It was just, because I am from Cincinnati. Then she
it's
goes
as if
on.
The movie, because Barnaby Barnacle is also obsessed with her, he only calls her, what is it?
Like, Cincinnati. Yeah.
Cincinnati?
Mm-hmm.
Cincinnati, thank you. He only calls her Cincinnati. She's constantly saying Cincinnati. It's as if Cincinnati is a protective barrier, or in another way of saying it, a good thing. Which I have an issue with.
Now, when what she has to do here to save them is not only have them breathe in more poison gas, but also teach them the song?
They already know it.
They know it. They know it in their hearts. Yeah, they know it in their hearts.
They seem
to... Stop breathing! Just don't breathe it! Just fight it! You must!
You too, Lisa!
Nothing's happening to me. I guess I'm immune because I've read Cincinnati. Yes, Cincinnati! Take a song with me. It'll help keep your mind straight. C-I-N-C-I-N-N-A-T-I, Cincinnati, the best tongue in O-H-I-O, Ohio, USA. Come on, Toy Master Shadow, good and evil, all of us, hold on to the good inside of you.
Cincinnati,
they named it Cincinnati, so they say.
How does he know the lyrics?
I'm sorry, every actor in that scene deserves an Oscar.
Yes.
Amen.
What must have it been like to shoot this movie? On a process level, you're sitting in your chair, you're waiting. Everybody's dressed up in their weird costumes. And you're like, do you know all the lyrics to this Cincinnati song?
Let's rehearse it one more time.
I'm still working.
And also, like, trying to figure out, like, what level of monster are you going for?
Yeah.
So, like, we're in the same movie, you know, we all have to, like, figure out what that's going to be. And, by the way, they did.
They did. I mean, when he goes, it's Cincinnati.
And like the sister does it next.
That's the same thing.
He even goes harder into turning into evil.
And then so does Googie.
Googie does it the best. Because Googie is the one that you think he's going to lose it. Cincinnati.
Somehow, I don't know what it is yet, but somehow Googie is the t-shirt. I don't know.
It's just that guy's face. Just Googie. That's it.
I'm also like,
Googie.
What?
Give me that Googie.
Okay, Googie's not on the birth certificate. So what? I'm like, my mind is racing. Like, what is his Christian name? Like, what?
It's Greg? Frank?
Frank?
For
hold
sure?
On, hold on. Somebody said it here. What? It's Frank.
You're right. It's Francis. Googie Gress, born as Francis Gress Jr.
Is Googie a common nickname that we've just never heard? Does anyone in this room know a Googie?
He was on the show Charmed.
Is there a Googie here?
He was on Charmed. Is Googie here? Ladies and gentlemen, Googie.
Googie. All right. Guys, I have how it came up. Francis Gress Jr. was born in Brooklyn, New York, and as an infant, his father called him his Googoo baby. That became Googie. And he was raised in Connecticut, where there is a state law that if you have a stupid nickname, it's stuck. That's what he says in interviews. And that's it.
Holy cow.
To introduce yourself that way.
Right.
That's...
wow.
That is like...
He lives here in Los Angeles. Let's get him! Let's get Googie!
Find Googie! Bring him to us!
Wolf have to fight off his wife and three kids, Clara, Frank, and Gus. But besides that, we can get him. Yes, he's married to the love of his life, Clorinda Ross, but we can get him.
We will raise those child as our own, those children as our own.
You know what? Let's see if anyone has some questions. This audience has a lot of information about Googie, a lot of questions about the movie. So if you have a question, raise your hand. And by the look of you, I'll see. All right, right down here. You raise your hand first. What's your question?
Hi.
This is great. Okay, so I'm going to repeat it just because there's no mic there. Is there like a weird innuendo that we're getting about child brides?
I would go so far as to say it is not an innuendo.
It's not one at all. It's just plain fact.
Let me be clear. It is not subtext. It is text.
Yeah.
The text of this movie is old men want to fuck younger men, marry young girls.
Yeah.
Child brides. Now I know we teased it. I just feel like we have to play as this lecherous scene. I think the only reason why it's so fun is because he's so good.
Hi there, beautiful. I've been watching you with the teddy bears. What do you think of running here, a charity bazaar?
The merchandise was faulty. There was no refund. The customer took a punching bag in exchange and was quite satisfied.
One thing I can say for you, Angela, is your personal merchandise is by no means faulty. But when I say push the teddy bears, I mean push the teddy bears. Clear?
I'm not a salesperson, Mr. Barney. I'm customer service, and I was doing my job.
Doing your job is pleasing me. which in your case would not be difficult, you know what I mean?
No, I don't.
You know, for a smart-looking girl, you're really pretty dumb. Don't you know it's better business to be nice to the boss than to some pretty stock boy with his fingers in the till?
Wow. I didn't like how he said fingers in the till.
Ooh, what a villain, what a villain.
All right, anybody else, anybody else? Yeah, right here, yes. Great question. Great question.
Wow.
There is,
let me repeat it just so we have it, because it's so good.
I mean, is that why Humpty Dumpty didn't fall off of it?
Oh.
Do not so bring him up.
In 1986, this movie was filmed in Germany, and in the film, they burst through a wall. Did this movie predict the fall of the Berlin Wall?
Well, that's why Georgie Porgy at one point says, "Mr. Barnacle, tear down this wall."
It was weird that they shot that lion in a NFL jersey as he tried to run past the wall. All right, anybody? Yeah, okay, yes.
Did you hear the implication when Mary Contrary said that it's always daylight and they only seem to eat cookies and cakes?
Okay, what was the first part of that?
It's always daylight.
But you said something before that, right?
She said, did you
what's
hear
the
implication
of it or no? Okay, got it, yeah. So what is the implication of it always being daylight? I wrote that down too. That doesn't seem like a pleasant thing. That seems like what you, like a torturous
hell
thing.
On earth.
Well, I'm assuming that for the storybook characters, it doesn't matter. But for Drew Barrymore's character, she needs to sleep.
It's like Insomnia, that Robin Williams remake. But here's the thing. Also, she said that cookies are everything. Cookies are currency. They're also cookies. And they're also driver's licenses. So, like, how do you know if you're eating a cookie?
Cookies are everything in this world. Cookies
except
are
for cakes.
Cookies are currency. Cookies are drive. It's everything.
And the cakes that they're making, we lost 6 months of cakes, but it doesn't seem like cakes would have that long of a shelf life.
Like it shouldn't be out there for 6 months.
Yeah, not. It doesn't look like a refrigerated area at all. No, I would agree with that.
I mean, let's be very clear. The cookie factory is not up to code at all.
The cookie factory seems to be making cakes. Yes.
Also, so many trap doors. Every building is
Hollow
full,
Earth, man. Is this is
dripping
King Kong is down
in trap doors.
Yeah.
Don't talk to him. Don't point at me.
Yeah.
There was a roach, like the end of a joint?
Like a real roach.
There was a roach in the cookie factory.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Oh, so
thank
yeah,
you.
So we're the, yes, we
thank
saw that there's actually there's
back.
An actual roach
sorry,
in the movie, an actual roach in
I
the movie.
I didn't realize you were saying I was right. I agree with you. I am right.
Yeah, over here. Yeah, what do you got?
For the two actors that look like Riff-Raff with a hunchback.
Yes.
Do you think that both of those actors auditioned for the same part and the director was like, I just gotta have them both?
It is interesting. So Richard Mulligan's character is surrounded by, I call them two Nosferatus. Like they're on either
or
side.
Or Nosferatu.
Ooh. they are.
Or Nosferatus.
They are identical. They don't do anything different except for the one suicides himself in the car chase, which is he jumps out of the car like Dom in Fast and the Furious, but to no end, just to the ground. I don't know why.
I'll pay $10,000 for those two characters to be in Fast and Furious 10. Without any explanation or explanation.
That's they the come, Toretto brother?
They come out of Toyland. The Fast and Furious 10 goes to Toyland. They get in those little cars. They drive around, and then they bring them into the real world. Boom.
I'm still shocked. Like, it's one thing seeing, like, Drew Barrymore in a little car. She's so young. But to see Richard Mulligan.
In a little car that sounds like.
In that little car.
In a little car that sounds like Bubbles and, like old, like, Hanna-Barbera. Like,
It definitely had Banana Splits vibes.
Yeah. And they're all driving around a town square. Like, there's nowhere to escape. Even when Keanu Reeves escapes from the jail, he's not under any disguise. He just drives right through the center of town. And at the end, when they're all racing, it seems like they're just racing through, like a block. They're just like, you know, it's like there's not much ground to cover. Like, just get out of your car and you'll catch them.
Yeah, just walk.
Well, yeah.
Well, yeah, the cars don't go fast. And they're being driven by children. And the other thing is, the car chase, our heroes all drive away. And what's left is Richard Mulligan and the Nosferatus just are driving in circles around a building at each other over and over and over until they crash.
So wait, now let me just say something, because now I'm realizing something. So the moral, like, there's a lot of morals to Christmas movies, right? There's, you know, like, whether it's like the most 8-bit Christmas, the most important part of the holidays is not the gift. It's about spending time with the people that you love. It, you know, whether it's, you know, the Grinch.
Love Actually. It's about your wife getting a Joni Mitchell CD instead of the thing, or trying to steal your best friend's wife, or going to America and sleeping with a bunch of random people. All the Love Actually great holiday tropes.
All the great bits. All the great bits. But like, here, the moral is, hey, kids, don't grow up too fast.
Which is, by the way, but that's a fine, like, Toy Story, like, there, that's a fine moral. My prop, well, but my 80s, problem
80s
is...
80s divorce kids. That's what this movie is about, I feel like.
Absolutely, but my problem is, like, I don't know that this is by choice. I don't know that she wants to be this little adult mother figure in her home.
She very much
doesn't. I believe she has to be to survive.
She says, quote, "I always wanted to be a kid."
That's devastating.
What?
That's devastating.
That's a line Drew Barrymore at 11 years old crushes.
Yeah,
and it's
she does.
Devastating.
It rings true.
It's
yeah.
a devastating. I mean, always wanted to be a kid at 11. I understood that.
Do you want to believe, Lisa?
Yes, I do. More than anything. I guess life just made me grow up too fast.
Oh.
Although I do still have my teddy. I kept teddy.
Did you hear that, everybody?
Googie.
She kept her teddy.
Yes, I kept my teddy.
Now, what I really needed to see was when we were back in present day, I really needed to see that mom, like, clock this.
All of it.
All yeah. of it. And that, think, like, I'm going to make a few different choices.
Change needed, the change of what happened in Toyland needed to be established in the coda when she wakes up.
Yeah.
Right?
Because,
we would then understand her life would be made better. She would be allowed to be a child.
But hold on one second. I'm looking at this and going, she doesn't even get to be the hero of the story, really. I mean, she helps, but it's like, it's not her story. Like, it's like, well, I guess maybe that's Wizard of Oz too, right?
I mean, there's a world in which she comes back and says, like, hey, Mom, I need help. I mean, honestly,
where's Dad?
And then the mom hugs her like Good Will Hunting, says, it's not your fault.
Yes.
It's not your fault.
Or it's then, something like the bare minimum we get in the movie is that she wakes up, they have a
beat.
We're
saying bear like the least, not the bear like a
not
furry.
Like the teddy bear.
There's a lot of bears.
And
in
she
the
looks past and there's a wooden soldier as one of the gifts on the thing, and it like salutes her or whatever. And that's basically it. It's like she still has a little bit of like the magic these toys come to life or whatever.
Like, I'm just saying that but she is the adult. She is ultimately the adult in Toyland.
Like, it might as well have been.
She's
she wakes
all
up.
Adult toys.
She
wakes up on the couch and her mom's like, "I thought dinner was gonna be ready.
Yeah.
What were you mixing because you didn't clean the dishes?
What's this I heard? You fell out of the back of a Suzuki Sidekick.
Yeah.
Your father's gonna be very upset when he finds us. He's coming back, trust me.
I wish I went to Toyland.
If only you would be more responsible, your father would come back.
It's also interesting, though. What's interesting to me is that they make her the middle child.
The mediator. You
know? Yeah, because she's not like oldest daughter's powerful force in the world. And usually take on that sort of like mother-like energy in the household, but she's actually the middle child taking care of her older sister and making dinner for her younger brother.
Well, her right. first question when she wakes up from a couch coma is, where's Johnny?
The little brother?
Where's the little boy? I can't remember what his name is. Where's Johnny?
She just woke up from a coma and is remembering, because that wasn't even part of the... They weren't trying to find Johnny in the beginning. Like, Johnny was with the mom. Mom was getting chains on her tires. That was fine. The mom was like, hey, look, I know it's snowing. I got a couple more errands to run. I'll be back soon. Like, the mom is not coming home. But, you know, maybe what we're talking about is, do we need hospitals?
But again, it's the 80s. It's the 80s. They basically were like, walk it off.
Concussions Pat Morita, Karate Kid just slapped his hands together.
Concussions weren't a real thing.
You could get a couple of those. All right, another question from the back. Anybody in from the back? Yeah, great. Yeah, you can say that.
Is there any way where this traumatizes Keanu to basically develop the cloning technology and replicas to save his family?
Great idea. So people are hypothesizing, is this character that Keanu plays a prequel to what we saw in Replicas, where he must replicate his family? You know, I don't want to get too deep in the car accidents.
No.
Over there in the back, yeah, right there, yeah. Yep.
Okay, two quick things.
First, sure.
I'm from Ohio, Cincinnati sucks.
A woman from Ohio says Cincinnati sucks.
Right. Cincinnati sucks. Cincinnati sucks. Cincinnati sucks. Cincinnati sucks. That's going in the podcast. Devin, keep it in. I hope we never put
yes,
Cincinnati.
For me.
So your whole argument that a sled is not this like influential and amazing child.
Yeah.
One word, Rosebud.
Okay. So someone's coming after
this
me.
This isn't Unspooled.
Not Unspooled, folks.
Is that Amy Nicholson?
We understand it, but that's not...
Get out of here, Nicholson!
Thank you, Amy Nicholson, for that. So she brings up... Now, I have an answer for that. You said...
Repeat the question.
They're going to repeat the question. She said, Paul, you say that, you know, a sled is not influential. Citizen Kane, Rosebud. She said Rosebud, Citizen Kane reference. Here's what I'll say about that. When was Citizen Kane made? 1942. How old was Citizen Kane when Charles Foster Kane when he died? When was he born? When was he born?
What's happening right now?
Let's just say.
Why are you condescending to our audience?
Yeah, they're.
Let's just say this.
They're here in mass.
Let's just say this.
Boo.
Watching us.
Let's just say this.
Boo.
In 1911, a sled would be a big fucking deal. So I agree with you. Yes, if in 1911 I was 10 years old and I got a sled, I'd be like, oh my God! The only thing for entertainment is newspapers. Yeah! It would be the fucking best. This is 86. We're talking Goonies in the movie theater. Nintendo's on our screen. Sylvester Stallone is killing Russians. You give me a fucking... Fuck you and your sled.
Wow.
Give me a Nerf gun. Give me laser tag. Wow. Give me a gift.
Wow. Paul Scheer, the spirit of Christmas. Gimme, gimme, gimme.
Wow. Did you ever go?
Yeah, I went sledding, and guess what? The other kids have fucking sleds. And you take turns.
Oh, so you're
fucking chair.
Oh, so you're
oh,
that
wait
guy.
Wait a second. So
you're
you never
guy.
Got one.
Aha!
So you never Aha! Got one.
I had a sled. It doesn't register with me because it's not that big a fucking deal.
You were sledless.
Sled.
You were one of those sledless kids who's like, can I get a ride on your sled? Can I get a ride
get
on your
ready.
Hey,
get
I got next on
ready.
Your sled.
Get ready, motherfuckers. I'll drop this on you. I had a horse-drawn carriage. We bring that shit out in the winter, and I didn't give a
what
shit about
it. What
are you talking about?
A
what
fucking
are you
sled with the horses.
You had about. Oh, that's right. You had horses.
So we would put on the fucking skis on the horse-drawn carriage. Pop, 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 pop.
Put skis on horses?
That's no, on the carriage.
That's not a
on
sled.
On the carriage.
That's not a sled.
I'm just saying, I got winter toys.
That's not a toy. It's not a toy of giant
mammals. And neither is a sled.
This is insanity.
I'm really upset. I'm really upset. And I'm parenting with this person, okay? We're the stewards of childhoods, and this is very scary.
I'm like, this is wild. These are wild takes, Paul. Anybody else got a question?
Yeah, right over here.
Oh, I went here, but you go there.
Oh, okay.
I
was,
were you hoping that Trollope would burst out of the trunk at the end of the
I gotta talk about this character.
All right.
Repeat
this
the
is
question.
Like a, this is Trollog. This is like a Dark Crystal kind of character, a Henson-esque Muppet that is a Cyclops bird whose giant main eye is also a TV.
And looks dead.
And looks dead. Like, it is unsettling.
It's like the difference between creating a Muppet and a statue with one moving part is light years.
But the thing is, and Richard Mulligan continues to use it in order to spy on Drew Barrymore and Keanu Reeves and the heroes of the story. So that's how he's staying ahead of them. But every frame in the movie, you're looking at the gross, cloudy eye of this puppet, and then like a TV screen is kind of superimposed onto it. It's disgusting.
It really is.
And bizarre. And really, and this is where I was like, oh, I kind of am into this I wish this had like a Dark Crystal-y. I wish these characters were more sketsies, more scary, more creatures, but they're not. You see all the seams and all the weirdness. And yes, you're right. They put him in a box, they put him away. Of course Trollog should come back. And maybe even help defeat his owner or his
It's not about turning the tide. It's just about
It's not about that. It's just about him being banished. Nobody gets converted in a Christmas movie into feeling the power of Christmas or believing in toys. Barnaby Barnacle should be him that believes in toys again so that the movie can resolve. It doesn't need to be Drew Barrymore because he is the equivalent of someone who's not interested in, who doesn't
want. I agree.
He's the villain.
Oh,
right?
Actually, I just had a thought about something.
Is it about sleds are awesome?
Well, June, your movie, Epic Christmas, does a kid in that movie want a sled?
Doubling down.
No.
What does he want?
A Nintendo.
Nintendo, 1986. Here's some of the toys that came out in 1986. Fucking Nintendo. That's a toy. My Pet Monster had it. That's a toy.
Paul, can I ask you a
question? My buddy had it.
Hey, Paul.
That's a toy and a friend.
Quick question. Quick question for you, Paul.
Omnibot 2000 had it.
Do
toy.
You think that Mary, working at the Five and Dime, can afford a fucking Nintendo for
she
her
could
sister?
Maybe afford she gives, Photon.
She gives half of her salary to
Photon
pay for
was
the
sled. Photon generic toy to laser tag. It was cheaper than laser tag, and I had Photon. Anyway, I had a lot of these 1986 toys.
Now, are you just using this to flex?
Teddy Ruxpin had it.
I had it. I had a phone. This is sad.
This is so sad.
So you're
upsetting.
Going
to share a costume. Had it.
Why,
wanted it.
Why do you have that bookmarked? Why is that so accessible to you, that list of toys you had
also,
in 86?
And I'm
this
not gonna,
is
by
heartbreaking.
The way, what I'm not going to do tonight is I'm not going to go back on thinking sleds are cool, okay? I do. I think sleds are great and awesome and a lovely gift. What I'm also going to say, though, is that this is her sister. This is her older sister. She's not going to get, like, the thing of her dreams, necessarily.
This is her sister works at the Five and Dime.
Yes, and this is a lovely thing for an older sister to get a younger sister.
Especially a younger sister who she feels like is behaving too responsibly. She wants
to
give her
the house.
She wants to give her a toy, something to have fun with, something to, exactly, leave the house and stop doing work.
Say, come on.
Whoa!
Misogynist.
Now we see.
No.
Put her in the kitchen, Paul.
Get the fuck
out of
here.
So she understands.
Double her out of here.
Don't let her have an adventure toy. Give her a practice oven for her future life.
I'll put you in an Easy Bake Oven.
I was like, let's get her a toy so she can make more food for the family.
Wow. Wow.
They need to eat.
This is
really,
I see
like,
true colors.
Clearly, I'm right. invite everyone to their other opinions out there.
I see your true colors.
Second opinion.
All right.
We have placed this microphone down here on stage. We have had two people coming up here. What's your name?
My name's Anna.
Anna, welcome.
Give it up for Anna.
Hi, Anna.
All right, here we go. It is now time for second opinions.
Drew Barrymore wakes up in Toyland where she teams up with friends and family to overthrow Barnaby. 5.4 out of 10 stars on IMDb. Does it sound forgetful? Well, it was made for TV. Mulligan, Brennan, and Reeves, let's go. Largo Christmas show. Pat Morita has the toys ready to go. Giddy up, second opinions thrive on how did this get made live. Babes in Toyland 2021, and we made it out alive.
Yes!
Beautiful!
Amazing!
Anna.
Amazing!
Nice.
First person back, hit it out of the park. Absolutely stunning. Thank you so much. Next one, come
Great
on
work.
Up.
Beautiful voice, my God.
All right, what's your name?
I'm Natalie.
Natalie, welcome. That's great. What you were saying was perfect. I love your stellar skateboard shirt. All right, Natalie, take us away. It is now time for second opinions.
I'm dreaming of a crap movie, just like the ones I used to watch. Where the Humpty Dumpties don't fall. Tell me what's the point of it all.
Amazing. Thank you so much. That was amazing.
Great work.
Wow.
You got some
that
voices
was fantastic.
Tonight.
Guys, I just had a moment of panic.
Oh, boy.
What?
That I was like, oh, shit, am I recording this? Because we've been doing it at home on Zoom so much. It's like, I don't think I hit record.
I don't think I hit record on QuickTime.
Literally had that. We have our amazing, amazing
Give
producers.
Give it up for Devin.
Up there in the booth. Devin, up in the booth. It was.
But just to be clear, Devin, you recording this?
Jason and June, I normally do second opinions.
Oh, what is this? Are you okay? Are you about to propose?
I just want you to know, and this is for everybody in the audience and for you both know, you don't know what's about to happen.
Oh, no. I'm scared. I don't like surprises, Paul.
God
what did you
it.
Do?
No.
What
but
did
I'm
you
not going to do second opinions today.
Here?
I am not going to do second opinions today. I have
is it a
very
Googie
special
cameo?
Guest. I have
what
a very
it?
Special guest doing our second opinions. So here we go.
Okay.
Take it away, Drew Barrymore.
Oh, hello, June, Jason,
oh
and
God.
Paul. How are you guys? I'm so excited to do this with you. Let's read some reviews, shall we? For the obscure masterpiece, Babes in Toyland. By the way, Keanu Reeves was just here, and he sends you all his best. All right, Lynn M. Hansen writes, subject line, Drew Barrymore. That's right, Drew Barrymore. Drew Barrymore does a great job in this remake of Babes in Toyland. It is not my favorite, but it is very good. And then 5 stars. I didn't think that's where that review was going, but okay. Ben writes, I remember being scared of this movie when I was a kid. Those creatures and those two evil sidekick dudes really creeped me out. So I just watched it again about 30 years since seeing it as a kid, and I'm happy to report that it's just as creepy as I remembered. I will update my review in another 30 years when I watch it again to see if it's still as terrifying. 5 stars! Jay Pensian writes, I absolutely love this movie. I absolutely love this movie to death, but it's only on VHS. It's one of the best versions of Babes in Toyland, in my opinion. If anyone knows how to get this in DVD form, let me know. I'd do anything to find it. Let me know. It would really make my holiday and year. And if you haven't seen this movie and still have a VHS, buy it ASAP. Why are you still reading? Buy it now! 5 stars! I'm just gonna go on record and say I had no idea that anyone knew about this movie. And that it's exciting to see that anybody gave it a 5-star review, and I bet there are a lot of 1-star reviews out there of it as well, and I'd be interested in seeing those too. But as the person who was in this movie when I was 11 years old, we shot it in Munich, Germany for 6 months, and we just had the best time ever. It was actually really fun. And I don't know, all I can say is that I give you guys, June and Paul and Jason, 5 stars!
Oh my God, I love her so much.
Drew Barrymore.
Incredible.
Wow, that was a surprise.
Incredible.
My Christmas gift to you both.
Thank you so much. Okay, I love her so much. Oh. And I just love her so much. And that is, watching this movie, I was like, God, she's so winning. And so is Keanu. Like, yeah, watching the two, those two child faces in this movie, it really does make it so watchable.
I just wanted to, like, I spent all of yesterday writing a script for Drew and Keanu because they were going to do it together. Their interview ran too long and he had to run to another event. So at the last second, like, he had signed off on it. He had done it. We had them going back and forth with different reviews. But they were both, the fact that they are both still like that, like into it and having and friendship.
I love them both.
And that they're both still thriving.
Yes.
Oh God, are they ever thriving. God, are they ever.
TikTok, Mr. Wick.
TikTok.
They're both thriving. And what's and I will say this, like, the movie is just absurd and an absolute cavalcade of nonsense. But it's watchable because they are so good. As is Pat Morita, as is, and I'm forgetting the actress who plays Mary, her sister, who's
Berman.
Great. As is Ellen Burstyn. as is Jerry Orbach. As is... Nobody puts baby in the corner. But listen, that's what makes the movie work. Because if it didn't, it would be... unwatchable. And as it is delightfully unwatchable because you're like, what the fuck? 6 months?
Six months in Germany.
Doing what?
6 months?
The whole movie takes place on a pile of dirt.
45 minutes. That's 2 hours and 25 minutes. That was the original cut. Now, here's the thing. People were talking, thank you, Paul.
That was a real treat.
That was incredible, Paul.
That was a surprise and a real treat.
June and I, no idea. Just so you guys know,
a
surprise.
And I was terrified.
Loved it.
Yeah, I would not surprise you.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, Googie.
But I will say this: people are saying, you know, is this a prequel to Keanu Reeves' character in Replicas? It's not, but it is responsible for Keanu Reeves learning how to ride a motorcycle. He did not know how to do it. He wanted to learn. He paid a woman there in Munich to learn how.
Did he ride a motorcycle in this?
No, he just while
he was there.
The 6 months that he was there.
And he now owns a motorcycle company.
Yes. Oh. This movie literally started that love of motorcycles. He liked motorcycles, but he learned. And when he came back from this movie, his first purchase was a motorcycle.
Wow.
And like we said, this movie came out in 1986. It's rated G.
It's rated G, but there is, at the end, a Saving Private Ryan level of violence.
It's
the
like
wooden soldiers come out with guns
combat.
And cannons that don't shoot like silly string or something fun and story-timey. They shoot bullets and cannonballs.
Yeah.
You got it. I mean, look, there's some harsh realities here. And that also speaks to Drew's character's mind. She wasn't going to envision funny confetti.
True.
Bullets.
True.
True.
The tagline of this movie.
A commentary on the Vietnam War. The quagmire of Toyland.
The tagline is a kind of a clunker. You must truly believe in toys. Which kind of gives away the ending if that's your tagline, but whatever.
Here's what my question about that is, it's the idea that belief in toys,
not
toys,
humanity,
that, like, not exactly,
love,
not
yeah.
the Christmas
and not,
spirit.
And also not, here's, it's like Toy Story is, it is about the toys and it isn't, you know, it's also about imagination. And that's also what they're missing here, which is, the idea that you just believe in an inanimate object. Like, that's not what we are believing in.
Just
we're believing in what
bear,
children
yeah.
can make up in their own minds
yes.
and the stories we can tell.
Stories is almost yes. more what it would be. The belief of the Christmas spirit or the story of Christmas or the generosity or the whatever. Not the toys themselves.
She doesn't leave with an actionable thing. Like, she doesn't go back. Like, she goes back home or awakes from her coma, however you want to view it, and says, I now believe in toys, which I don't think that's going to change the day-to-day.
No, it's not.
Like, I still think that the mom's going to be like, we need food on the table. I got to go run some more errands with your little brother.
Paul, yep.
He wants to be a commercial actor. We got to get him out there for auditions.
Did you really, like, did you feel like for you, you connected with her character a lot as having not had a real childhood?
I will say this. When you were... And I mean this in a very sincere way. When you were talking about that wasn't normal, like her answering the phone and cooking dinner, I was like, really? Like that didn't seem bizarre. Like, none of that stuff read weird. It was like, yeah, she's just a kid.
She's just a kid who's got to get dinner done on time and make sure the little brother's taken care of. And
that stuff seemed...
She also does that thing where she's like, ring, ring, ring. Hi, mom. Hi, how are you? Like, where she just immediately launches into conversation.
Top three movies, 86. Top Gun, Crocodile Dundee, The Karate Kid Part 2. The other movies from 86 from How Did This Get Made? Cobra, Howard the Duck, and Maximum Overdrive, and Rad. So it's a big year for How Did This Get Made. Would you recommend people see Babes in Toyland?
I would.
I would, too.
Yeah.
I absolutely would.
Yeah, I think so. It's wild.
It's
wild.
I would argue that, like, not only do I want people to see it, but I want people to see it in a volume that demands that we get the longer cut.
The 145.
I want the 145 in the same way that I want Peter Jackson's 15-hour cut of Get Back.
It is on YouTube. The 145 is on YouTube.
Oh, it is?
Like, yes.
Hold on.
By
what?
The way, that's why it's a 6-month. It was a 6-month shoot.
145, yes. 2 hours and 20 minutes, and they had
second. Did anybody here watch the 145? Raise your hand. Don't go crazy.
No.
Yeah,
you're rational people.
Okay.
You're
okay.
People from LA. You have other things to do. That's why Quibi was invented.
I'm just curious if someone had. I was curious. What did they see?
Well, basically, there's a couple of reviews that I read where people were a little bit more excited about there's some better songs. They felt like the better songs were left on the cutting room floor.
Interesting.
But again, those are people leaving 5-star reviews for Babes in Thailand. So I'm not really judging their taste as an arbiter of mine. But I will say this much. What I love about this movie is, and we talked about this before, like whether it's like Valerian and A Thousand Planets or Jupiter Ascending, whatever we watch her, it's like, I like fucking weird. Like, it's like, this is a kid's movie. Like, they will never make like a movie this weird. You'll never have the peering Humpty Dumpty, like,
yeah.
Oh, by the way, just while we're at it, someone go home, make that GIF.
Yeah.
GIF?
GIF.
GIF?
GIF.
Make that GIF. I want that GIF of Humpty Dumpty peering out. Put it up on the whatever.
Well, we have done it. It's our first live show back.
Felt great.
Jason,
holy shit.
June, I'm Tall John.
Holy shit.
A big thank you to
great.
Devin up in the booth, our producer Molly Reynolds, our producer Cody Fisher, all the people who make this work. Avril Halley for finding this movie and sticking with it for 3 years. Nate Kiley, who does all of our amazing research. And now I will say this, Jason, and July Diaz, who is our MVP, our person who listens through the whole thing. Always getting Kyle Waldron and, of course, Zach McAleese, who's a ghost of Craig T. Nelson on Instagram, who does all of our art. Jason, June, what do we want to promote? What do we want to talk about?
I don't need to plug anything. I just want to say I'm just so happy to be here. And thank you for wearing your masks and coming out. And I'm just thrilled to be at a live show.
I was going to say the exact same thing. I was just going to say thank you, the live audience, for coming to this show and welcoming us back. Because I'll be honest, there is nothing, literally nothing that I have missed more than sitting on stage with you guys talking to you fucking idiots about some piece of nonsense.
True.
It is.
And so this is incredible.
Yeah.
I
thank you for making this happen.
And I want to add I want to add one more thing to that, which is I want to thank the amazing staff here at Largo who run such an amazing theater. They put on amazing
shows. I want to say one thing about that,
Paul. They take care of people. Yeah.
Because one of my big fears when the pandemic happened, and we talked about Flanny and Largo so much because we were so terrified about what was going to happen to the space. And they just run a beautiful theater here. And I am so I walked in and I wanted to cry because I'm so thrilled that they're here and encourage you all to continue to support the other shows that are here. I'm sure you do, but please check them out.
They
it's
make
a
it
miracle.
A safe environment.
And I'm so glad
this
that they're still here.
This is our home. So please support our home.
Be nice to all these people. Come back and see shows. Like we said, Jason and I, we perform improv here. You can check it out. It's Dinosaur. But thank you for being here. Thank you for coming.
Yes.
And thank you for being you. Babes in Toyland forever. We will now pose for a picture.
Okay.
We'll give you a picture.